Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Don't sweat the technique. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Make sure you stick around for the entire show, as you always should. Bad Take Boulevard coming up at 4:30. Also, some point between now and when we say goodbye, we're going to be giving away some U of H football tickets. So you'll want to make sure that you're tuned in for that. Thank you for using that. Paul's just our beloved coup. You're president. He knew I was going to say something about it, I think. 9953, if McCullers had a LinkedIn, it would have a coffee barista listed before athlete.
Eh. No, not from his side. He wouldn't put that for his own because he's hanging on. Based on the videos he posts, he's hanging on. He's a pitcher. In somebody's mind.
9271, I don't want JJ back. Okay, why? You can't just say that and then not say why. You got to tell us why. 713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN. HRNP listener line. So the Texans are taking on the Rams in joint practice, which the joint practice is today. Practice. It's not plural. They're only doing it one day. It's going to be far more entertaining than Saturday's game. There's no doubt about it. Like, their starters aren't going to play. Last preseason game. But the Rams, they had some good things to say about the Houston Texans. We know that Matt Stafford is one of C.J. Stroud's heroes. He loves Stafford. He thinks he's one of the top quarterbacks in the NFL. Stafford today returned that praise to C.J. Stroud.
I'm a huge fan of watching him play. Throws the ball with ease, plays with like a really calm aggression, which I like. You know, his first touchdown to Tank Dell, letter of the law in the preseason this year. You know, that's buzz coverage right into a dagger window, usually not throwing that ball. But, hey, they didn't play it as well as they could, and he fit it in there for a touchdown. I mean, that's playing ball in an aggressive way, but smart. And I'll let him know that. I thought it was a pretty sweet play. So, you know, he plays at a really high level, especially for a young kid. They've got a lot of talent around him, which is a lot of fun to watch, and he does a great job of getting those guys the ball.
Look, I think it's a little bit more significant when the other team is saying it because there's not incentive for him. Like, he's not going to be a jerk, although some quarterbacks might be. But he doesn't have to go out of his way and be like, oh, yeah, I think this is really good. This is why he's really good. And then, oh, yeah, that one play that he had in this game whenever I wasn't even watching it because it's preseason and I'm a quarterback that doesn't watch, you know, the offense. Like, I'm watching defensive stuff. I thought that was pretty cool, Matt Stafford. I thought it was pretty cute.
That's the thing that caught my eye or ear was the fact that he literally went to a specific play and broke it down to give him his praise. It's one thing to say, yeah, he looks good out here. And, you know, I love seeing, you know, as a younger quarterback, another, you know, the guy coming up to do. But the fact that he did what he did and said it the way he did with an example like that, I'll take him at his word too. And I'm excited about that because of the fact that I think we already knew that. But the more that you hear these things, the better you even feel because of the fact that you just know that for everybody that's wondering about a sophomore slump and all these other things, CJ's the real deal. And the more you hear these things, it just solidifies it.
Yeah, I think he's really good too. Did you see that pass he made to Joe Mixon today?
Yes.
A little wheel route on the sideline, dropped it in the bucket. I saw people tweet about that play before they actually, like, the video posted. And I thought that Mixon was going to have, like, a few yards of separation. Like, I heard wheel route, you know, Stroud drops it in the bucket, hit him, you know, for X amount of gain. I thought he was going to be Mixon just, like, blew his defender away and had, like, a three-yard cushion on him. That was a contested catch. Well, that was over, in traffic.
It was over each guy's shoulder because it was over the defender's shoulder with his back turned and then over Mixon's left shoulder to fall right there And Mixon makes a nice catch, too. But, I mean, you couldn't place the football any better.
No, no, it was a beautiful throw. But what really, like, I know that Stroud's capable of doing that. So that's not what stood out on that video to me. To me, it was more that Mixon made a contested catch. Mm-hmm. That wasn't, like, out in the flat. Like, this was, you know, 15 yards upfield, 20 yards upfield. And he's making an over-the-shoulder catch as somebody was all over him. Like, they were draped all over him, and Mixon's making that catch. I was like, okay, Mixon, I didn't realize you had, like, that in your bag. I didn't know you were that good of a receiver. I thought you were kind of, hey, get in the flat, maybe a little, you know, in-breaking route or a little slant, 3-5 yard pass, and then you break it because you're a good runner. No, like, he caught a wheel route against contested defenders. That was a good play. I was like, okay, all right, Joe Mixon, this is an added element to this offense.
That's a wide receiver-esque kind of catch. Or, an upper-level tight end that has hands to make a play like that, because you got to have soft hands, you got to adjust on the fly when you see the football coming in there. There's no question about it. It's not the typical out of the backfield dump down and then, you know, go get your yards after the catch. It was a really nice catch.
Yeah, I thought it was that's what really stood out to me. It's like, okay, Mixon, like, you had that to this passing game. I want the Texans to never run the ball. Throw it 58 times and beat teams that way.
I saw multiple people texting positive things about Mixon today with the way he practiced. So yeah. That's definitely something that you want to hear.
Yeah, they said the run game looked pretty good today with Mixon. So, you know, maybe Mixon's bringing more juice to that room. We just haven't had a chance to see it, which is okay. I'm not blaming the Texans or bashing the Texans for not playing Mixon in the preseason. There's no, you know, need to do that. Another one from Stafford was, he was asked about the Texans' secondary. And again, Stafford was some praise there.
The whole back end. Is a really talented group. I don't know if they're all, you know, it's first round pick, second round pick, third round, whatever they are, man. They fly around. They're smart. They're asking me questions after the period. What do you see with this, that, and the other? And you know, that's a sign of mature guys that are trying to learn the craft and be as good as they possibly can. And the athletic skills are definitely there.
There you go. They're game recognizing game.
We don't, and they don't play the Rams this year because I was going to say, but because otherwise, I find it interesting too. If you're going to go to an opposing
that
quarterback,
Stafford would actually give them details.
And be honest
yeah.
with him, yeah, and give them detail like that.
Yeah, they
that
would only meet if they're in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, so then he's more willing to help. But again, that's good to hear because of the fact that they're so young in so many cases too, with a rookie on one corner and Stingley being young, and if Bullock is getting a lot of reps. There's a lot of youth in that secondary to be, and Petrie just a couple years in. I mean, the fact that if that they're doing that and that they're learning on the go while looking good, that makes you feel even better about the fact that you already know with the pass rush that they have. As long as they can contain the run, the pass rush is going to make the secondary's job easier. But if you have guys that can cover like that, that's extremely encouraging.
Is this real or is this QB speak?
Well, I think it's real.
I think there's a good element of QB speak here. Like, to me, he's not going to go out of his way to, like, be mean. And look, I think that he's right. Like, I think the Texan secondary is good. I think Stroud's good, obviously. Mm-hmm. So, he's correct in giving them praise. But if he thought that the Texans' secondary were a bunch of clowns and they weren't very good, I still think the answer is this. I still think Stafford takes the high road. Yeah, I think there's a lot of quarterback speak here.
I don't think he goes to that level, though. I don't think he goes to the level of, hey, they've been asking me after the period's over and asking me questions and talking about
the That doesn't mean they're good,
stuff.
Though. That means they're respectful.
You can just say, hey, look, they're athletic. They fly all over the football field. I just think going
and
into it the
said.
Way he did.
That's
then he went into the detail of them asking him questions.
But that's just being nice. That's not how good a player is. That's like how respectful a guy is or like how much they're seeking to get better. That doesn't necessarily equate
I don't
productivity or talent.
No, but I don't take it that. I take it that if they're intelligent enough to ask questions and be searching for ways that they can get better, I like that aspect of it.
But if you put me in pads today, and I was in pads against the LA Rams offense today, you know the easiest thing that I could do? Asking Matt Stafford a question.
Okay, great.
So, like, I don't think that the question thing is that significant. Like, it might show that, hey, the Texans defense is eager, but in terms of, like, impressing the opposing player,
I like the bit of intel that he gave you. I personally like that on top of the fact that we already know we've heard a lot of positives about multiple guys in the secondary all camp. And when you hear it from the opposing quarterback, I'll take him at his word for that.
Okay. So no quarterback speak there.
There might be some, but I think overall, if you heard Sauce Gardner today try and speak positively about Daniel Jones, you'll realize that sometimes it's hard to fake it, but you know, if he's going to go out of his way like this, I think there's some substance to it.
Did Sauce Well, I mean, he didn't go out of his way. I got asked a question about it. Maybe Stafford did. Stafford was asked about the Texans secondary. What did Sauce say about Daniel Jones?
Oh, my God. It's funny.
Did he, like, bash him, or was he being nice?
He was trying to be nice, and he couldn't find a way to do it smoothly, and he just kept hemming and hawing. He was like, I had fun today, and he was good, and it was really entertaining.
Because yesterday, like, they were talking trash.
Oh, is that right?
Like, he was waving goodbye to Malik Nabers off the field, like, after a big defensive play that, like, capped off the joint practices.
I saw some of the guys posting videos of those two going head-to-head, and really the ball was barely – I didn't see the ball thrown to Nabers at that time. But, yeah, they asked Sauce about Daniel Jones today, and he could not
– That would have been a fun –
could not get out of his way without basically saying –
That would have been a fun joint practice. I like both of those guys. I think Nabers is going to be really good. Yeah, I hate that Daniel Jones is the one throwing him the football. But I think they'll force it to him, and he'll put up some big numbers. All right, here's another one about the Texans secondary. This is from Sean McVay in his high, squilly voice. Now, is this coach speak or is this real?
I've been super impressed with Stingley from when he was coming out, and then you watch the production that he had last year, and I thought Petrie was all over the place. You know, Jimmy Ward is a guy that I've always respected because of the athleticism, the position flex, and what he enables them to be able to do as a safety or a guy that can drop down and, you know, play coverage on receivers or tight ends. But I thought, you know, Petrie's a guy that you can see. He's really good. I felt them today, and, you know, they did a great job. And then obviously having, you know, two special guys coming off the edge makes a major difference.
There you go. Coach speak or real?
Oh, I think there's some coach speak there, but I think that he respects them. I think that you obviously aren't going to bash anybody, especially as a head coach, unless there's bad blood. But, I mean, yeah, there's some coach speak in there.
Yeah, I think it's mostly coach speak, but I will say that
really,
it was...
I view that one as mostly real because he gave specifics. Unlike Stafford, where he's like, oh, they fly around, they're athletic. It was kind of vague. That was specific. Like, hey, I like Jimmy Ward because of this. I like Petrie because of this. I like Stingley because of this.
I think that's McVay, though. I think that's McVay. I think McVay is really good at knowing personnel around the league. I think he has really good recall. I think that McVay does this with every single opponent.
Maybe so.
Where it's like, okay, you tell me, oh, their defense, what do you think about this team's defense? Well, they got this player, this player, this player that are all really good, and these are the areas they excel in. I think McVay just has that kind of recall.
I think the Jimmy Ward comment made me believe he remembered Jimmy Ward when he was actually really good.
That's true. Yeah. Talking about his athleticism.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
he didn't say it
maybe
was
like 3 years ago.
This week. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I heard.
713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. A.J. Terrell, the Falcon corner, he has signed a new deal. Big contract. How big? How does this influence Derek Stingley? 713-780-3776. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
A.J. Terrell signed a contract extension, one of the best corners in the NFL, widely regarded. Contract details, 4 years, $81 million, includes $66 million in effectively full guarantees. It's the largest guarantee ever given to a corner on a four-year deal. Contract negotiated by David Mulugeta. This is the second highest money for a corner on a per annual basis. Jaire Alexander, $21 million. Terrell is at 20 and a quarter. Denzel Ward was 21. Jalen, 20. Marlon Humphrey, 19 and a half. I saw Texans cap, whose opinion I respect more than anybody when it comes to cap stuff. He actually thought it was bad for the cornerback market because maybe it didn't surpass Alexander or didn't get this. Well, I'm not exactly sure why he thought it was bad for the corner market, but maybe he thought that Terrell had a chance to reset it or, you know, bring that figure up over Alexander to where now the next corner has to go up over it. So maybe that's good news for Derek Stingley front. Now, what I noticed is that Terrell's been in the league for 4 years. This was going into year five. Terrell, a former first rounder who had the fifth-year rookie option. So this was going into his fifth year. We know that Stingley's going into his third year. So it seems like the Texans are probably 2 years away from having to re-up Derek Stingley should they want to re-up Derek Stingley. Obviously, if you're making that decision today, you would want to re-up Derek Stingley, but you get to collect 2 years of information on what you want to do. And the market's going to be different then what it is now. Like in 2 years, is this, you know, is Stingley going to get $20 million? Now he's probably going to get $23, $24 million. But this is the price of poker. AJ Terrell's contract lets you know what Nick Caserio has coming down the pike here in a few years.
Yeah, absolutely no question. And as good as he is turning out to be, and with him showing, and me, you know, I said, I think last week, I just think he's set up to have such a big year. He's just got to stay healthy. And once he gets over that last hump to prove to people, it's not about his ability. It's about if his availability is good this season, yeah, he's on that same trajectory. And you think about it, if we were talking about this the other day with Mulgeta as it related to CJ, but when you look at it, I mean, you could have to deal with both those guys the same year, right? If the timing is the same? Two left for CJ when you want the negotiations to start like it had been with...
Yeah, it would be, because unless they do it early.
Right.
Unless, because usually it's after the quarterback's third year. Whereas Corner, according to Terrell, if we use him as the reference, it's after the fourth year. So, yeah, I mean, Stroud would be, yeah.
Yeah, and yeah. So now you're not quite to the Cowboys yet, because they have three that they're dealing with right now, but that's a big financial situation that you're going to have to kind of, you know, work your way through, with the fact that you could have to take care of CJ and take care of Stingley at the same time. And you got to be, you know, wise financially to figure it all out. But obviously he's not going anywhere. I fully expect both those guys will get that done. Hopefully Nick gets it done sooner rather than later.
Yeah, but you can add in all the other players too and then get to that Cowboy level. Like you talk about like Cowboys because of Dak, who is actually going to be like beyond his rookie deal. Like this will be a second big contract. CD will be getting his first big contract. Micah Parsons will be getting his first big contract. Stroud, Tank Dell, Stingley, mm-hmm. Christian Harris. Where are you at with Jalen Petrie? What do you want to do with Kenyon Green? Laremy Tunsil is going to be around the corner. Tytus Howard's going to be around. Like, this is a good problem. Like, this is a first-world problem for NFL teams, because if you're making these tough decisions, that means that you have really good football players. You know, rewind 2 years ago where you're trying to find guys to take your money. The Texans a couple of years ago were like, okay, how are we going to meet the salary floor? They were bringing in fighting Rex Burkheads. Like, they were not in a position of being very talented a couple of years ago. Now we're in a spot where it's like, okay, well, how are the Texans going to fit in C.J. Stroud? How are they going to fit in Tank Dell? Is this a possibility where you can bring back a Tytus Howard, a Laremy Tunsil? You still have Nico under contract. Then you look at the defensive side of the ball, where you have Will Anderson, Didn't mention him, Christian Harris, Derek Stingley, Jalen Petrie, and that's before you even talk about the veterans. That's before you even talk about, you know, playing the free agent game. That's why I think the Texans' like win now attitude has to be right now. It has to be here in this moment.
Yeah, the window is only as open as your creativity in being able to sign all these guys, and it's probably, you know, in terms of before you have to take care of CJ, it's probably more, instead of like a 3-4-5 year window, you're looking at two. You're looking at the next two seasons. And in this season, we talked about how tough the schedule is, but look, the talent is already there. But in the next two seasons, you're really going to try and maximize and capitalize as much as you can, because you're right, there's no shortage of talent on this team, and everybody's going to want to maximize the amount of money that they get. You can only maximize so many guys before you have to start getting creative. And unfortunately, you're going to have to let some guys go.
Yeah, it's gonna be a challenge for Caserio. But you're right. I mean, you can't pay everybody. You can't pay everybody, and things are gonna change between now and then. Like, look how much things changed in one season for Derek Stingley. After Derek Stingley's first year that was injury prone, everybody, oh my goodness, Nick Caserio, what did you do? How did you possibly draft Derek Stingley ahead of Sauce Gardner? Nick Caserio's a bum. He doesn't know what he's doing. Fast forward 365 days, it's, oh, we think Derek Stingley's better than Sauce Gardner. How come Derek Stingley doesn't get the praise and recognition that Sauce Gardner does nationally? So things change in a hurry. And if you're still looking 2 years out, you know, who knows where Stingley's going to be? We think he'll be good if he stays healthy. But where's Will Anderson going to be? Where's Christian Harris going to be? Where's Kenyon Green going to be? Where's Tank Dell going to be? It's kind of the challenge of having a lot of talent, though.
It fluctuates. And you, for your sake, you hope you're making these decisions, these tough decisions, because the guys maximize their talent before you have to get to the point of signing them. But when you look at some of the best teams, and you start with the Chiefs or the Patriots previously, the tough decisions were made to where, obviously, with the good quarterbacks, with Brady and with Mahomes, they realized that in the Tyreek Hill situation or in the receiver, the Patriots always were waiting to catch a bargain like Randy Moss on a cheap scale, as opposed to at the top of his craft. Running back, the Patriots always worked their way down to veterans that wanted to try and win a ring. You're going to have to, because of the fact you can't sign everybody, you're going to end up being in a situation where you're going to make some tough decisions to move on or not sign guys, and then hopefully you backfill them with guys that want to play with a win, you know, with a good roster full of winning players.
713-780-ESPN. What do you think whenever Stingley gets his deal? I mean, if he stays healthy, I think he's going to get a deal because he's a really good football player. Mm-hmm. Where do you think he'll stack up amongst highest paid corners in the NFL?
Top three.
What? That's where I'm
top
at.
Top three.
I'm a top three, too. I think he'll make more than all of these guys. Like, I think when he gets his contract, I mean, it's 2 years down the road. I think he'll get more than $21 million a year.
I do, too. And I think that, you know, look, the guys that can't get out of each other's shadow are always going to be mentioned. It's going to be Sauce in the same conversation as him. And I think there's young corners that are coming into the league and already into the league that you'll put in that mix. Jair Alexander, to me, is surprising that he is the highest paid right now. He's good. He's really good. I don't think he is the best corner in the league. But, again, it's when your contract comes up.
Yeah. Now, you know, it's surprising that Terrell maybe didn't get more. But he got the largest guarantee. So, like, that was the trade-off. 5798, I think what happens with Patrick Surtain will better indicate what the market will be for Sauce and Stingley. Would the Texans be prudent to get a deal done with Stingley before the Jets deal with Sauce? I agree with you about Surtain. That's probably the corner we didn't mention. Would they be prudent to get a deal with Stingley before the Jets deal with Sauce?
I think maybe not as extreme as the whole Scherzer, Verlander trying to max out, but I think that there's no doubt that both guys want to be the number one paid corner. And if you're still worried, you're still negotiating with your guy and the other guy, either way, and the deal gets done, there's no doubt their target is a dollar more or a million more or whatever it is in between, more than the other guy got.
I kind of like the deal done before Surtain, but the years don't add up there.
Right.
So, yeah, I'll say prudent.
I would say.
I'd rather get it done before the other guy gets signed.
For sure.
Because now, I mean, the whole agent thing, I don't even know who is Derek Stingley's agent. Do you know?
I don't.
Hopefully it's not Mulligetta.
I was thinking that, too. Mulligetta gets we were just talking about it the other day, and then he gets the Terrell deal done.
Yeah, I'm not sure who is. I don't think it's Mulligetta, though. I just typed in Derek Stingley's agent, and Mulligetta did not come up. I think he would have come up if that were the case. 713-780-3776, HRMP listener line. See, that's – like, if I look at the defensive side of the ball, I think you have to pay Anderson before you pay Stingley, though, if we assume that they're both going to, like, be as good as they're going to be in a couple of years.
Ooh. That's a good
question. I believe in the pass rush over the corner.
Yeah, but you know, when we always say like what's more frequently available or accessible, free agency or otherwise, where you can reload. I mean, if Will Anderson Jr. turns into be, you know, a Myles Garrett type or a guy that's just a dominant pass rusher, yeah, I think you definitely have to lock him up. You can get other corners, especially because we talk about one so locked into the other. If you have a violent and dominant pass rush, your corners don't have to be – you don't have to have the best corner in the league. You can get corners that can actually make up some time because of that.
Like, Stingley's a better corner than Will Anderson is a defensive end at this stage of their career. But I rather have the defensive end over the corner. It's just my belief of the position. All right, 713-780-3776. HRMP listener line, 713-780-ESPN. Let's get to Bad Take Boulevard. What are the worst takes of the week? What do you think belongs on Bad Take Boulevard this week? It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Time to welcome some new takes.
Right this way.
To Bad Take Boulevard.
If only there was something in your head to control the things you say.
It's the dumbest argument ever.
With the Killer Bees.
Can I just say that I'm an idiot for listening to you?
15 minutes away from giving out the U of H tickets. We need three people who want the U of H tickets to call in, be a part of our Man of the People. And we'll assign each caller, one of the three callers, with Blank, myself, and intern Sam. This is his final day, and we're not going to pay him real money. So us three will be the men of the people. We'll each have one teammate, if you want to call it, the caller. And then the winner of Man of the People, the caller, will get the tickets. So 713-780-3776. If you want to go to the U of H game a week from Saturday, and of course you do. Why wouldn't you? 713-780-3776. You'll be assigned one of us, should you be one of the three. Let's get to Bad Take Boulevard. Worst takes of the week. What are the worst takes of the week? I was watching Titus Howard talk to the media yesterday. And Titus Howard's nameplate, the graphic nameplate, listed guard tackle on the nameplate. What do we know about Titus Howard? We know that Titus Howard in his bio says he's a right tackle only. Yet the Houston Texans media people have him listed as a guard tackle. I don't think he's too pleased by this.
I wouldn't think he would be because he was extremely adamant, went out of his way to make that change to his social media over the summer.
Like 100% a mistake, right? This is 100% a mistake.
No, I think it might be 100% an intern or someone kind of new hire, low on the totem pole that's just trying to get like grunt work done.
Yeah, I don't think. I mean, I think it was a mistake. I think it was probably left over from last year. They didn't realize it.
Okay. I know that a lot of times when, especially even with the social media people, they've got multiple people on the account. Sometimes they just think that's something that's easy to do and give it to someone they just brought on.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they would punch him in as a guard tackle, though. You know what I mean?
I'm sure he's going to have something to say about it.
I wonder if he does.
I think he will.
I wonder if he does. His Twitter bio says he's a right tackle only, yet the Texans TV people list guard tackle on his graphic. You made the list, whoever you are, that listed Titus Howard as a guard tackle. I've always
Made the list.
I'm a big Titus Howard guy. I've never seen anything poor about Titus Howard. Climbing Taos Hill. Thought it was Chaz McCormick that was going to be sent down to make room for Benjamin Gamble. They had a story on Climbing Style Hill does good work. We just all can't bat 1,000, and they were Jose Abreu on this one. And they thought it was going to be Chaz that sent down to make room for Gamble. I don't know how they ever thought that. Like, it was a lefty to replace a lefty all along.
Yeah, and I mean, look, they've been quick to send Cabbage up and down all season long, and you know they're all pulling for Chaz. I don't think there was any question at this point in the season he's not going to be the guy sent down, because Chaz just hasn't Cabbage hasn't proven to be a guy that they're going to rely on for multiple stints or a long stint in the outfield.
Yeah, so unfortunately, love you, Climbing Taos Hill, but we don't discriminate. We don't discriminate on Bad Take Boulevard. So Climbing Taos Hill, you have also made the list. Did you hear this from Rasheed Wallace? I've debated my friends about this sometimes, like how good Michael Jordan was whenever he was with the Wizards. Some people who, you know, they just don't know a whole lot. They don't know ball. They have bad eyes. And they think that Jordan, whenever he was with the Wizards, was trash, which is not the case. Jordan was with the Wizards was very, very good. Anybody who says that he was trash with the Wizards, they have bad eyes. They would fail the eye test. They don't know ball. But was he better with the Wizards than he was the Bulls? Rasheed Wallace, knower of ball, or maybe unknower of ball, he says that Michael Jordan with the Wizards was more dangerous than the Bulls' Michael Jordan.
Phenomenal player then, but I think he was a little bit more dangerous when he was with the Wizards. He didn't have the athleticism that we were used to seeing MJ have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I'm with Bonzi. His angles were a little bit more sharp, you know. You wasn't going to move him. He was a strong two-three guard. You wasn't going to just move him lightly. And his shot became more dangerous. You know, he became more solid as that veteran player when his years in Washington, as the question stated. You know, it was like one of them, don't leave him open.
Yeah. Don't leave Michael Jordan open.
Yeah, I think Jordan with the Wizards was way better than people think. But more dangerous than the Michael Jordan with the Bulls?
You just made the list!
Talking about the greatest sniper in the history of the game that could do anything at his peak, as opposed to, yes, I'll give you that with Washington, he was more intelligent, more savvy. He had to be because he was a little slower and a little bit wider. But he was still damn good with Washington. And go back and look at the stats to find out the big games that he had and some of the records he set for a guy his age. But it wasn't even close to who he was with the Bulls.
See, I'll push back on even what you just said. I don't think he was more savvy with the Wizards than he was the Bulls. I think he was equally as savvy.
I'm saying from what they said, when the angles are a little tighter and sharper and things like that, because he didn't have the cat quickness to be able to kind of create enough space to where he could go a little wider and still make up for it.
You don't think Jordan, when he was winning MVP when he was 34 in his final year with the Bulls, was doing the same stuff?
Maybe not as sharp of the angles, and because of the fact that I think that he lost a half step. So I think that you've got to intelligently realize to make up for that, I've got to get to the spot a little earlier. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
But if you're slower, how are you getting to it earlier? With a tighter angle? He was doing the same stuff in Chicago.
When you get a little bit older, then you realize coming off the screen, I don't have that extra half step to be able to set and get my shot off. I've got to be already starting to go in the gather and get it up quicker, do things like that.
And he wasn't doing that in Chicago.
I don't think as tightly as he was when he was a step slower.
We disagree on that one. I don't think that he was any more wise in Washington.
Are you backing up Rasheed here, Joel?
He is, a little bit.
No, I'm not.
Sounded like you were backing him up.
I already said unequivocally, it's not even close, and you should have never made the statement. But am I saying that Michael was more savvy in terms of being more intelligent in terms of being able to get his shot off and do the things that he did at an older age? Yes.
Yeah, you think that Jordan was wiser?
No, don't put words in my mouth.
I'm not putting words in your mouth. You think Jordan was wiser in Washington than he was in Chicago? That's exactly what you said. I'm not putting words in your mouth.
I think he was playing a little bit smarter. Yeah.
Okay.
In terms of for his own benefit.
Yeah, are you doing it or am I doing
you
it?
You go ahead.
Go ahead.
Joel Blank?
You just made the list.
It's your opinion.
Yeah. I mean, Blanker and she know a lot more about basketball than you and I
That's true.
Ryan.
That is true.
They have played a lot more basketball than we have played. So there is that.
No doubt about that.
Simone Biles, and we just told you, no one is off limit. We love Simone. Simone's one of the greatest Houstonian athletes that has ever existed, coming off a terrific Summer Olympics, cementing herself as the greatest woman gymnast in United States history, probably world history, but I just don't keep up with gymnastics like that. But Simone Biles went to the Bears game wearing her Packers jacket. Simone, you can't do that. You make the list.
You just made the list.
How bitter that rivalry is.
I saw that on Hard Knocks.
I had so many friends of mine and so many friends back home. The friends back home love it because it's like they think it's like a shot at the Bears, and the Bears had to deal with it. But yeah, that's just an ultimate no-no. You just don't do that. I mean, I get it. She's naive and maybe doesn't get it. But even still, if her husband changes teams, you want to wear the gear of the team that you don't want to wear the gear of the team he used to play for.
Yeah, I think Simone Biles has a make the team rule. She doesn't get a new jacket until her boo makes the team. That's got to be what it is. It's got to be what it is. She'll get a Bears jacket if Jonathan Biles makes the team. Now, she has a make the team rule when it comes to her wardrobe. I don't blame her. I don't blame her. Jonathan Biles has been on three different teams in three different years.
Look, I think there's a chance he doesn't make that team, but I think that she spent a year going to Packers games in Green Bay and had to realize how big the rivalry is with the Bears. You learn pretty quickly the no-nos. That's a huge no.
I think this jacket, if you saw it on Hard Knocks, it didn't look like it was right off the rack, right? This looked custom made. I think there is something to it. Like maybe this is something to where, like, she's obviously been busy for the last few months and she didn't get around to it. And maybe she decided not to do it till she actually knows he's on the team. I think we might be onto something.
You don't think Bears people would have taken her right to the team shop and done what they had to do?
But clearly
apparently
they didn't.
Not. She got to the sideline wearing it.
Clearly they didn't.
That just shows you what the Bears at front office is made of.
He was wearing a Packers jacket on the Bears sideline.
Stain on Ryan Poles.
My goodness.
It's a stain on the entire
stain
Bears
on
franchise.
The Bears organization.
It's a stain on George Halas rolling over in his grave.
What the hell are they doing?
So funny. There was a judge at UFC 305 that was fired on fight night and escorted out of the building because he posted a bad score. A couple of heavyweights were fighting. I forget how to say their names. But he ruled in favor of the guy who lost 30-27. He had the guy who lost winning all three rounds when the guy clearly did not win all three rounds. The other two judges had a 30-27 for the winner. I think one guy had a 29-28. But this judge had a 30-27 for the loser. It was so bad that he got fired because he was supposed to judge a fight later on and was literally escorted out of the building immediately afterwards for his poor judgment. I didn't realize this happened.
I read this happened in boxing.
I was watching live.
I know. It's like I wish this could happen in boxing because there's been so many times. I mean, there's the Manny Pacquiao fight against Timothy Bradley where Bradley got a win that he lost at least eight of those rounds. I mean, Canelo got a draw. One scorecard gave him a draw against Mayweather when Mayweather easily wiped the floor with him. There's so many times in boxing where something like this happens where you just lose your mind. I wish it would happen in more sports. Like, if you have that bad of an outing, yeah, fire him. Lead him out of the building.
You would at least hope that they have the kind of accountability that umpires, but more so like the NBA's rating system or leagues do for their judges so that you can avoid some of this.
I don't
corruption.
Think boxing does.
No, they don't.
Because I see
should.
The same bad judges all the time.
But I read this article. That's pretty severe. Not only are you going to be fired, you don't let them finish out the night. You escort them from the building.
The fact that they escort him out of the building before the next fight almost leads me to believe that they might have had suspicions of him being
under,
on the tape.
Under the table, yeah.
That's so weird.
To be that wrong and for him to get fired mid-card and escorted out of the building, yeah. I wonder if they thought he was on the take.
Because I didn't know you could do that. I didn't think that was a thing. Like, you can't.
I didn't either. I've never seen it in boxing.
Because if you have authority over the judges, you can basically fix the fights.
Kind of, yeah.
Because you now, like you said, that he could have been on the take. Like, if you're appointing the judges, it's why they don't allow you to do that. Now, you're basically picking, like, it's like a defense attorney picking the jury that they
sure.
want.
Yep.
Like, it's weird to me. The worst judging I ever saw was whenever Oscar De La Hoya was given the decision over Sweet Pea Pernell Whitaker. Mm. What a crime that was. Pernell Whitaker beat the Golden Girl. What a terrible, terrible judgment that was. Couple of nominees from the text line to us. 6927, not worst take of the week, but when Branham said he'd rather Blanco start a playoff game instead of JV, bad take when he said it 6 to 8 weeks ago, and an even worse take now. Well, JV was hurt 6 to 8 weeks ago. Of course Blanco was the starter. JV was on the mend. Things have changed. Blanco hasn't been as good. Verlander is back.
But so you taking JV today?
You know, let me know how he sleeps. Let me know how he sleeps, and then I'll get back to you. 0979 Wisconsin Cheesehead, I think that's you,
yeah.
Saying Jay Cutler is the best quarterback in Bears history.
Statistically, I believe he is.
Sound like me whenever I say Case Keenum is the greatest college quarterback of all time,
I think if you go back and look at the statistics of the less than that threw, and McMahon didn't throw the football a lot, I think Jay Cutler is.
I never knew you were a numbers
guy. As far
as
like career passing yards, or what when you say statistically, what would you guess that?
Yeah, like passing yards and like single season highs, but I think passing yards, completions. He was big. He had Brandon Marshall. He had some guys for a couple years.
I thought his bigger seasons were in Denver.
He had some big years in Denver too, but he carried over into Chicago. And the Chicago, look, who are we comparing him to? The Bears haven't
That's the part.
You can wear a Super Bowl and not throw the football. You can hand it off to Walter Payton.
But I would say the greater quarterback's the guy who won the Super Bowl than the guy who had the stats.
Well, that's why a lot of Bears fans will tell you that Jim McMahon's the greatest quarterback, because he did.
I think that's why he's criticizing
him. No, he was criticizing me.
No, he was saying the stat. Yeah. I think he was more criticism of the stats.
No, he didn't. He said Wisconsin Cheesehead saying that Jay Cutler's the best quarterback in Bears history.
Okay, well, that listener didn't listen to Joel's take. Joel's take was just statistically.
We might have to go to the tapes.
You
on
go
this.
Right ahead to that tape. Let me know how that goes.
It's kind of like your Keenum is statistically the greatest college quarterback of all time.
We might have to go to the tapes on this one. I don't know if he said statistically. I think he said Cutler's the greatest Bears quarterback of all time.
I thought I heard stats in there. I'm with Joel.
We're going to have to rewind it.
Please
throw the challenge flag.
Don't talk about it. Do it. Go ahead.
I don't have the capability to do it, Blinkers. That's why I'm asking Brian to do it.
There's a studio right there.
What time was it?
I don't know.
I have to do it at 6:05. I'm not staying late to do that. You kidding me? Cutler threw for 23,000 yards. Second, you want to guess who second was? I think you saw him play. Sid Luckman from 1939 through 1950.
So Cutler does lead for career passing
yards? By a lot. 23,000 to 14,500.
There you go. Blanker's vindicated.
Dumbass. Cutler,
well, if he said statistically. Cutler had more touchdowns, 154 to 137. Single season, he does not have the single season record, but he does have the second, third, fourth, and fifth highest.
He doesn't have the single season?
Cutler has the second highest passing yards single season. He has the third highest. He has the fourth highest. He has the fifth highest, but he does not have the first highest.
Tell me it's Grossman.
Nope. It's not Rex Grossman. He's seventh. Trubisky sixth. This guy played in 1995.
I don't even know.
I've heard the name, but I would have never guessed this.
Vince Evans?
No.
Bob Avellini?
No. I'll give you a hint. His initials are EK.
Eric Kramer?
Yeah. He was more known as the Lions quarterback in the 90s.
Yeah, I know.
I would have never guessed him.
Yeah.
He threw 3,838 yards in 1995. Cutler was second, 3,812.
Wow. So they never even reached 3,900, much less 4,000.
Cutler missed a game the year that he was second. So if he didn't miss that game, he would have easily.
He probably would have topped 4,000, yeah.
Oh, no doubt. Well, maybe. But he would have easily passed Kramer, who only had 26 yards more than him.
Right.
Yeah. All right. That does it for Bad Take Boulevard. Thank you all for playing along. All right. 713-780-3776. It's time now for Man of the People. We're going to get a listener assigned to each of us. The winner? Well, you're going to get U of H tickets. We'll do that next. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. All are U of winners. If you get a goal from Pro Dunk Hoops, they make the highest quality basketball goals you'll find. Tempered glass backboard, breakaway rim, stainless steel hardware. It's height adjustable. It's rust proof. You have to have that in Houston. We mentioned that the ability to adjust the height. You can lower it to 5 feet. You can raise it to 10 feet anywhere in between. It's great. It's easy to do. And their goals are top shelf. They're elite. They're very very much like the pro gyms, the college arenas. They give you that true, authentic feel. And with their new goal, 4, you can raise and lower the goals with the drill. Lightning adjust feature, 5 to 10 feet, matter of seconds. Their accessories, next level. LED light kits for night play, backstop nets, pull pad lettering, and lots, lots more. You can order everything, including professional installation online. That's right. The pros from Pro Dunk will professionally install your goal at the perfect height, perfectly straight. You don't do a thing. Let the pros at Pro Dunk do all of the work for you. Give them a call at 281-351-9822, 281-351-9822, and visit ProDunk.com. That's ProDunk.com.
The Killer Bees are back, and I honestly have no idea what's happening next. Could it be the next great big food debate? The biggest Joel rant of all time? Jeremy trolling someone to the point of crying? Or just some actual bees making some honey? Well, let's find out. It's time for the Wheel of Bits.
Oh, my goodness, would you look at this. What an enormous bit.
Let's play Man of the People.
All right, time for Man of the People, where we try to win you tickets. Blankers, myself, and intern Sam are in here. Final day, you're with us, right, intern Sam?
I'll be back next week to help train the new class.
Well, if you knew that, we wouldn't let you.
Yeah, what the hell?
Yeah, no, I thought he had told me previously his last day was the 22nd, but apparently he's coming back for one more week.
Well, if we don't see you, we appreciate your incredibly mediocre work. I'm kidding.
Great work, man.
When do you turn 14?
Next week.
My goodness, baby face. Intern Sam, they're asking on the Twitch, like, did you bring your kid to work with you? Which, a little offensive, I think.
I am old enough to attend Rock the Mic at Carbach tomorrow.
Oh. He's young enough to be the children of two of us.
Wait. You can attend, but can you consume beverages?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I'm way too young to have a
You're
kid.
You're the only one,
age.
Though. He's young enough to be the child of either Joel or I.
I'm insulted. How old are you?
I'm 40. How old are you, Sam?
23.
You're not old enough.
I mean, it's close. I know. I need kids. I got kids in high school.
Seeds of love at an early age.
Yeah.
How old do you think I am?
You're 38, right?
39.
Okay.
You were making it sound like you were so much older than me.
I thought it was 2 years older than you.
Like, I can have a kid his age, but you can't.
What do you mean? I guess you could at 15. That'd be a little radical, but I guess you could.
Well, you know.
Yeah, I know. Brandon gets around.
No. I'm Mexican. I'm not. All right.
And I'm Mexica.
We have a listener that's assigned to each of us. Justin's going to be with Blankers. I have Zach. And then Joseph's going to be with Sam. Family feud type of thing. Don't sue me. But B-Max can give to us questions, and then we guess what they are. Kind of like family food. The family feud. The higher on the list that they are, the more points we'll get, the more points we give to our listeners. So let's get started, Brian. What's our order here? Do we know our order?
We'll go Joel, Jeremy, Sam, and then we'll repeat that. So there'll be 6 total questions.
All right, let's get
started. So we're all even here. All right, so this one, Joel goes first. Name an occasion where parents force their kids to wear a certain outfit.
Christmas.
Christmas is on the list. It is not the number one answer. It is, that's 5th on the list. So you'll get 1 point for that.
Can you repeat the question?
Sure. It is name an occasion where parents force their kids to wear a certain outfit.
Halloween.
That is correct. Halloween is 3rd on the list. Third. So Jeremy also get 1 point.
Is that not the number one
Sam,
answer?
Sam, you got a chance.
There's
here.
2 answers above that, Sam. Name an occasion where parents force their kids to wear a certain outfit.
Easter.
Easter is number 2 on the list.
Excuse me?
Everybody gets a point?
Sam gets 2 points, so he's out in front now in the first place so far.
How did my third most have the same points as the fourth most?
It's just first, second, and everything else?
Yeah, first place, or the best answer gets 3 points, second gets 2, everything else gets 1.
Can you throw out this, Judge? This is some rigged scoring here.
So the number one answer that you guys all missed was wedding.
Thought about it.
Yeah, wedding was the number one answer.
Halloween.
Yeah, Halloween was 3rd on the list, so you weren't alone there, but it was not number 1. All right, question 2. Jeremy is going first here. Name a reason that someone might ride their bike to work.
Their car's broken.
No car is the number 1 answer, boom. So you get 3 points, Jeremy. And then, Sam will be going first or second here. Name a reason that someone might ride their bike to work, Sam.
If their job is in super close proximity to where they live.
That unfortunately is not on the list. Joel.
Spouse or significant other needed the car.
Yes. That is also not on the list. The other answers were exercise, save gas, and the environment.
Ugh.
Wouldn't the last 2 be the same thing?
No, I mean, gas is more like you're broke.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's. I think. I mean, I see your point, but I think they're slightly different answers.
All right, that was a big question for me. Number three.
That was. You are now up 4-2 to Joel's 1. All right, Sam's going first here. Name qualities of a bad boss.
Egotistical.
I'm gonna say that. No, that's not on the list.
Angry.
Joel.
Angry.
That is on the list. That is the number 3 answer. So
I can't
you get
believe
a point.
You would say angry.
Yeah, shocker.
Mean.
Mean is not on the list.
What?
No, sorry. The number 1 answer was micromanager.
That was my second guess.
Followed by incompetent. Third was angry, which Joel got. Then irresponsible and oblivious.
So all these people like mean bosses.
I guess so. So it is 4 Man. For Jeremy, and then 2 each for Sam and Joel.
All right, that's halfway through.
We're halfway through. So question 4, Joel going first. Name something you do in front of the mirror.
Smile.
Not on the list. Jeremy?
Brush your hair.
That is the number 2 answer.
Oh,
you
man.
Get 2 points. Sam, name something you do in front of the mirror.
Brush your teeth.
Yeah, that was my next
number choice. 1 answer. Number 1 answer for Wait, Sam.
Wrong brush. So I'm how often do you here. Go in front of the mirror and smile?
I mean,
you just
walk my
up daughter's
to do it every day.
Hey, looking good.
My daughters do it all the time. And it's partly checking
every,
their teeth.
Every mirror I walk in from now, walk in front of, I'm going to smile.
Good.
Hey, Brandon.
So
like
you guys got the number
smile.
1
for me being angry all the time to me smiling in the mirror all the time.
You guys got the number 1 and number 2 answers, which were brush teeth, brush hair. Then the remaining 3 were pop a pimple, check your outfit, practice dance moves.
Well, you got skin like mine.
My daughter does that too.
You should have said it.
Smile. She does that all the time in the mirror. See her do it.
All right. We got 2 questions left. Jeremy going first, and Jeremy is in the lead. He has 6. Sam has 5. Joel is at 2. Jeremy, you're first here. Name something people tend to fall out of.
Love.
That is the number 2 answer.
Ooh.
So 2 points there. Sam, you're up next. Name something people tend to fall out of.
He took my answer.
Countdown.
5.
Say, because 4, I fell out of it one time as a
3,
child, I'll say a golf cart.
Oh, man. You know what? A car wasn't on the board, so I'll give you that one.
Let's
Car's
go.
Close enough.
Oh, stop.
So you get 1 point, and Joel, you are up now. Name something people tend to fall out of.
A relationship.
That's kind of... I'll give you a chance to give another answer. I'll give you a chance to give another answer.
No,
that's the same thing as love.
Soft judging.
That's the same thing.
That's an X.
Bed.
That is the number 3 answer. You get 1 point. All right, so last question. Jeremy has 8, Sam has 6, and Joel has 3. So I believe, Joel, you're out of the running.
Thanks. Sorry, Justin.
But Sam can still take this over if he gets the number 1 answer. All right, Sam, you're up first here. Name something you might eat with crackers.
Cheese.
That is the number 2 answer. Ooh. So you have tied Jeremy, which could be problematic. I'll have to scramble and find another question. But hopefully Jeremy will solve this for me and get something right. Jeremy, name something you might eat with crackers.
It's me next.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Joel.
Soup.
Soup is the number 1 answer.
Oh.
So that gives Joel 6, Sam 8, and Jeremy 8. Jeremy, name something you might eat with crackers.
Tuna fish.
No, it's not on the board. So buy me a time. I'm going to look up another question for a tiebreaker.
What are the other answers?
The other answers were peanut butter, chili, and sliced meats.
Chili.
I thought sliced meats would be on there.
Is tuna not sliced meat?
No, it's not sliced meats.
I'm with him, though. Tuna and crackers is
I'm not a huge tuna fan, but I mean, I see it all the time.
Yeah, either on Triscuits or saltines. Yeah,
yeah, that's a... There's just not enough people eating tuna nowadays, I think, is what it is.
I mean, we used to have it in our vending machine here at work.
We've talked about it because we didn't know how long it sat there and Joe was going to eat it.
No, he did.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. He did mix it up.
Yeah, he mixed it up and ate it. He didn't feel very good the rest of the show.
No.
All right, here we go. Tiebreaker question for Sam and Jeremy. Why don't you buzz in with your name since we only have 1 question, okay?
Okay.
All right, so whoever has the higher answer here wins. Name things you would post on social media.
Branham.
Jeremy?
Pictures of your children.
Let's see. Not on the list, actually.
Really?
You got a shot, buddy.
It's close.
You
might call this nitpicky, but I'm going to say it's not on the list.
Like
Sam?
That's crazy.
Wedding photos.
Also not on the list. Very close.
He looked at me and said, I got this.
How do you?
Not in his head.
How is posting your children's pictures on there? Did they ask you a bunch
what
of
is
men?
It?
Food.
Food, actually, yeah, that is correct. That is the number 4 answer. The number 1 was selfie. then vacation pictures and pictures of friends. So none of them
said
kids.
That's so weird.
Yeah, so we'll have to go to the next one. Same thing, buzz in with your name. All right. Name an animal that starts with the letter E.
Buzz!
Branham.
Elephant.
Elephant, number one answer, yeah! Jeremy wins. Congratulations to, who do we have here? Caller Zach. Zach is with
Congratulations,
Jeremy.
Congratulations, Zach. You're going to the U of H game a week from Saturday. We've been waiting for college football. And home opener, new era of Houston College football coach Willie Fritz's first game as the Cougars head coach. Night of thrilling plays, hard-hitting action, unforgettable moments. Tickets just $15. Go to uhcougars.com/tickets or just call 713-GO-COUGS. Come early, be loud, and wear red, and you'll be joining SAC at TDECU Stadium a week from Saturday as college football kicks off in the city of Houston. Valiant effort.
Good job,
beat Blankers.
We appreciate you.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Thank you. I appreciate
good luck,
you guys.
Good luck with your future endeavors. We're always here for you.
Thank you.
Well, I mean, you speak for yourself.
I am. Yeah. You know that.
Don't come to me for that. Advice. Yeah. I can't give good advice. Not that I wouldn't be able or willing. It wouldn't be very good. You're better off asking other people. Jahan Dotson traded to the Eagles in the NFL, and you're never going to believe what people are saying now about this Eagle wide receiver trio. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Mike Holla, U of H class of 1990, go Cougs, has been protecting the interests of businesses for nearly 25 years. HRP provides comprehensive human capital management services, including HR compliance, benefits administration, and payroll. HRP will also work with you to customize a plan for whatever you need. There's nothing cookie cutter about HRP. If you need a little help, a lot of help, anything in between, HRP will create a plan for what you and your business needs. Great people over there. Mentioned my colleague, Chris Fisher, all of their customer service staff, fantastic. They're going to familiarize themselves with your business, and you will never talk to a stranger on the other side of the line when you're talking to HRP. They're going to know you. They're going to know your company. That way you can trust them, and your company will be in great hands. Customer service, of course, we use HRP, so anytime I have a question, always ask them. Always a quick response, very easy to understand, very fortunate to have them here at Gal Media. Let HRP take on the demands of human resources and eliminate your HR burdens so you can get back to growing your business. Give them a call at 281-880-6525 and let HRP customize a plan for you, 281-880-6525, or check them out at HRP.net. That's HRP.net.
ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.